Amen. Well, we're going to get into the Word. You know, Donovan had mentioned a Sunday morning class, really preparatory for our worship here on Sunday morning. We come in, they provide a great breakfast, but there's something about sitting down there and hearing men expound upon the Word of God. And he talked, it really was good. He brought, you know, General Patton into the whole thing about how Patton gave his men his word that he was coming. And they trusted that word. And we have that saying, and he used the same example with Christ. When we find ourselves in a difficult situation, we have to go back to his word and his promises and say, what has God spoken to me? And sometimes that word is easy to fade out, isn't it? We forget what he's spoken to us. It's important sometimes that you write it down and you put that vision before you. You know, it tells us in Habakkuk, write down the vision. Make it plain upon tablets. And we lose that vision a lot of times because we get so caught up in the daily grind and daily things. But it's important to know what God has spoken to us because he's taking us somewhere. He's not just letting us run free like a bunch of kids on the playground. But he's got direction. He's got a plan for each one of us. So let's pray right now. Pastor John has been ministering on the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is our guide. He's our teacher. He's our counselor to lead us in the direction that God would have us go. So, Father, we lift up Pastor John as he prepares to bring forth your word right now. We pray, Father, that you would anoint him, that you would bless him, and Lord, that this word would challenge us, and Lord, that you would impart vision, that you would renew vision, that would stir up the vision in our lives, Lord, so that we would be about our Father's business. Lord, bless him and bless this word, we ask in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you maybe remember the last time I spoke a couple weeks ago, we talked about how Spirit-led believers are supposed to be leading fruit-filled lives. We didn't get into any of the particulars. We just talked about that general idea that as Spirit-led believers that we do have an example. And we, in fact, there's a list, and it's in Galatians 5:22. It gives us this sample list of godly character traits that the Holy Spirit is trying to develop or bring out in us, and the Bible calls them the fruit of the Spirit, just like on a tree, fruit grows, because it's nourished, in a sense, in reality, by God, you know, through the water and the rain and the sun. Well, we're nourished by the Holy Spirit. Our spirit is nourished, and then we bring forth fruit that grows in us, and that's what God's looking for. And then it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now we know, and I mentioned this last week, that this list is not all-inclusive. That's not everything there is, but it's a great starting place to see, to get an example of the kind of character that God wants to develop in each one of us, because these are actually character traits of God. Each one of these traits show a different aspect, a different side, a different little piece of God. And so by seeing this list here, what God's doing is he's giving us sort of a measuring rod or a measuring stick to compare ourselves to say, are these things growing in your life? Are we maturing, just like that tree would be doing? Are we maturing as Christians? And just as these traits are a representation of Jesus Christ, and as we now grow in these traits, what happens is then we become a greater and greater representation ourselves of Christ on earth. The more this fruit grows in us, and people can see this fruit, then they're able to see the character of Christ alive in us. We're supposed to be becoming more and more like him. That's our job. That's what, you know, we were, you know, created to become like Christ and in his image. And we're supposed to reflect now the Lord's glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is bringing glory to God. That's when the Holy Spirit's there on this earth, he's always here to bring glory to God. And the way he's bringing glory to God in us is that he's transforming us. And he's changing us, and he's causing the fruit of the Spirit now to grow in us, so that when people look at us, they see that fruit and they see Christ. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at one of these fruit, and we're going to look at the first one on the list, which is love. And if we had to choose one trait, I was thinking about this, if we had to choose one trait off of that list, or even, you know, throughout the Word, that would most honor God, one trait that could help us live the life that he called us to live, to make us the most like Christ, if we had to just pick out one, I would say it has to be love. Romans 13:10 tells us that love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. In other words, everything is wrapped up in love. 1 Corinthians 13 compares love to many of God's traits. It talks about the different things, but then it goes on to say that the greatest of these is love. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about pursuing God's different gifts, the different gifts of. And then he says about, when he's talking about love, he says, let me show you the most excellent way. And he's talking about love. So obviously, in God's mind, in his word, love is extremely important. And in fact, in 1 John 4:8, it tells us that God is love. So God knows that love is a great motivator. In fact, love is the greatest motivator of any force that we could ever have in us. It's greater than duty. Love is definitely greater than duty, greater than fear, greater than power, greater than pleasure, or it's greater than the law. It's greater than anything else that will cause us to do whatever. Love is the one thing that will make us do so many things that all these other things might fail at. Love will compel us to reach higher. Love will compel us to do greater things, to go farther, to do more than anything else ever could. Love is the reason that God sacrificed his Son, his one and only Son, Jesus, to save us. Love is what moved Jesus to willingly lay down his life and go to the cross to die for our sins. Love is what enables us as Christians to be able to lay down our lives, truly lay them down. It's when we really love God and that love is poured out towards others that we're able to then lay down our desires, our self-interest for others and for God. Love is what enables us to overcome our flesh and live by the Spirit. Overcome our selfishness and live by the Spirit. God is wise, isn't he? God, the wisdom of God is amazing. And he's wise beyond measure. It says that his ways are above ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And it was God who put this ability to love inside of us. He made us like love receptacles. And he made us so that we could not only receive the love, but give the love. Because God understood the potential for love and of love. He understood the capabilities, the promise of love, the hope of love. Yesterday morning, Joe Van Riper spoke at the men's breakfast. He did a great job, too, by the way. I think he's upstairs right now. And one of the things he talked about, well, the main thing he talked about was our inadequacies. How we oftentimes feel inadequate. And I know many of us do. We feel inadequate in some area of our life. Some of us feel inadequate in all areas or lots of areas, depending. When it comes to love, I'm sure that many of us have felt inadequate. The truth is we are all inadequate when we're talking about the kind of love that God wants us to see, God wants to see us operating in. We as an individual, me as an individual, you, we don't have that ability in us in the natural sense to love like we would like to be able to love. And we always judge our ability to love on what we think we can do. It's just the nature of us as humans. We always forget that there's more behind the scenes going on. And we start to think about ourselves and we think, I don't have that ability. And so we feel inadequate. And yet, here we have God who commands us to love. He doesn't suggest it. He doesn't say, oh, it would be nice if you felt like loving or if you feel love. That's not what God's looking for. He's not looking for feelings at all. Yeah, that's not what he's not looking for, the feelings. You can't command feelings. God put feelings in us, emotions in us. They just happen. You can't command the feeling, but he commands us to love. So how do we get this ability to love? In John 4:19, it tells us that we love because he first loved us. The whole process of this love was initiated by God. He started the ball rolling. If God had not created love, there would be no love. If God didn't put love inside of us, there would be no love inside of us. It's just like if God had never created water, there would be no water on this earth. And we wouldn't know about it. We would never have experienced it. We would be missing it. But God created this thing called love. And it's a wonderful thing. So the first thing we need to get hold of now is that not only did God create it, but that God loves us. God has forgiven you. He accepts you. And he says, I love you. Huh? Can you be at home knowing that you failed? Knowing you blew it? And can you honestly say to yourself, I know I blew it, but I know God loves me. I know my Father loves me. See, that's where we need to be. We can't be cowering, running, hiding, afraid to talk to God, afraid to let our mind go to God because we blew it, we sinned, we failed, and then think that God doesn't love us because God loved us while we were yet sinners. God went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross and died for those who hated him. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He died for all of our sin, once and for all. So we have to get a hold of this thing that we love because he first loved us. God started the process. So that's a given. You got to get beyond this that God can't love me. I'm too terrible. I'm too great of a sinner. I've done too much. I've blown it too many times. I've messed up. No, forget about all that. Beyond any of that stuff, God loves you. 1 John 4:9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, before we ever even knew God, before we even recognized God, before we wanted anything to do with God, when we were steeped in sin, God loved us. And now we become a Christian, and then we blow it one day, and we think, God doesn't love me anymore. It's not the way it works. For us to be able to love is God's idea. And this love that He has for us is so amazing, so all-encompassing, so overpowering, so unsurpassing, so beautiful, that once we get just a taste of it, a glimpse of it, we'll be hooked. We'll be addicted to love. That's what God wants. Not sexual love. That's not love. That's sex. Love. Love from God. Paul tries to give us some insight into this love, in the depth of this love, the power of this love, the steadfastness of this love, this love that won't go away. And he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You can't cut it off. You can't cut it off. It's a done deal. God has already said, "I love you." And He basically says, "I don't care what you do. I'm going to love you anyway." You ever see that movie, Crossing the Switchblade, by David Wilkerson? There's a point there where he's standing on the street and this hoodlum comes up to him and says, "You love me? I'm going to cut you up into 1,000 pieces and let's see how you love me then." And the guy says, "Well, then you're just going to have 1,000 pieces screaming out, 'I love you.'" If we allow ourselves, if we make ourselves available to learn and to understand all that God has for us, all that He's done for us, and all the resources that God has at His command to defend our relationship with Him. He's all about not only loving us, but making this love come alive in us, defending this love, protecting this love. And He has all the resources in the world and beyond. And He does all this because He wants us to understand how much He loves us so that we can now begin to learn how to love Him in return, to know this love, to love Him in return, and not only that, but even to begin to love others, to share that love with other people. Remember now, so we love because He first loved us. Then we have something that's even more remarkable, because God hasn't left anything to chance. He's determined. He's determined for this love to get out here. So He's taken this whole idea of being able to love to a new level. And what He's done is He has poured out His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, into each one who gives their life to Him. Everyone who becomes a believer has an immediate deposit of the Holy Spirit. And it may not be huge at the beginning, but from the very beginning, the fruit of that Spirit is love. And if we have the Spirit of God, we have love. We need to let it grow and develop and mature, but as soon as we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes in us, and there's a whole new development, a whole new blossoming of love now that is in us and able to start responding and able to start going out and start fulfilling this mission of love. Romans 5:5 says that God has poured out His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us. God has poured out His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He gave to us. See, this is His plan. This is how He works it out. This love, as we've already said, is a fruit of the Spirit that God has given us. It's part of our membership package. We sign up. We just signed up, Carol and I, a couple days ago. We signed up for a campground type thing. We've belonged in it for years, but they had a whole new process going on. So we signed up for, we had to transfer it over. We signed up, and in the midst of this signing up, we got all these new benefits. And so these benefits are part of our package. Everyone that signs up gets these benefits. You get to go to this park. You get to use that facility. You get to do this thing. You get to stay this many days. Well, when we become a Christian, we have a members benefit package. And you get your little benefit booklet. It's called the Bible. And you can search through there and find all the benefits that come with it. You can even go online and look at the Bible website and see them on there. If you need one, I guess we'll give you a little card that you can take into stores and ask if you can get a discount and stuff like that, maybe. So we have these benefits as a Christian because we are members, and we're members together. We're members in this together. We are members together in the body of Christ, brought together by the Holy Spirit. Every Spirit-led believer should be living this kind of life, this kind of fruit-filled life. Some people say we're fruitcakes, but that's not what we are. We're filled with the fruit of the Spirit. We have now a direct pipeline to God. You know, once we get saved, the Holy Spirit starts working in us. It's like somebody just turned that big valve. And now the pipeline's open and the oil begins to rush. And that's oil signifies the Holy Spirit many times. And now that the Holy Spirit is coming into our life. Just coming. Crank open that valve. The more flesh that we push aside, the more of this flesh that we get rid of, the more God can open up that valve and the more the Spirit can come in us. God supplies all our needs. And there's no greater need in our life than love. That's from God. So if we put together these two verses that I've just read and talked about, this is what it says. We have love because, number one, God first loved us. And number two, because He put His Holy Spirit in us so we would be able to respond to that love and walk in that love. Loving God, our neighbor, and the big one, ourself. And I know many people hate themselves, but that's not from God. That's from the devil. Because if you hate yourself, how can you love your neighbor? And if you can't love your neighbor who you can see, then you can't love God who you can't see. And that's right out of the Word. So the devil knows how to play us. He knows he's got schemes. If he can't make you hate God, if he can't make you hate your neighbor, it's easy then to hate myself because I'm no good, right? Because I see all my flaws, so I know I'm no good. And so we hate ourselves. I'm a hypocrite. I'm no good. I failed here. I did this. Oh, you should see what I did way in my past. You know what? So what? Let's start from now forward. And start living from now forward, living and loving God and our neighbors and ourselves. God would never have given us a command to love and not given us the ability or the resources to do it. That's not the way He works. He doesn't do things to frustrate us. Jesus is building his church. That's what he said. I will build my church. And he knows that there's no better tools, there's no better component, there's no better attraction than love. Let's look at a few ways that God's love will build the kingdom or build the church even here. Love builds community. Because love brings people together. That's why we're commanded in John 13, 34, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Do you hear that? Is that a bummer or what? You must love one another. It's not feelings. That doesn't mean you have to feel love. It means you have to act in love to one another. As we love one another, we build community. We build this community of believers. We're rescued from the darkness, from this world. We're pulled out of the world and brought into a family, a community. God's called us to be part of one another's lives. We read in the Word that it says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, a holy people, a people set apart, pulled out of the world and brought together in a community. Right here, this is a community. There's a bond between believers that is eternal. It's inspired by our common love for Christ because we're all His children. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Who are my mothers? Who's my brothers? Who's my sisters? Those who believe. That's what Jesus said. There are Christian brothers and sisters that I know around, not only even around this country, but even some around the world. And some of them I see only on different occasions, maybe sometimes years later, years apart. But I know where they stand with Christ, and when I see them, The immediate rebuilding of that bond, it happens just like that. The old relationship, you know, we may not have kept up exactly on everything, but there's an immediate coming together because of that common love that comes from Christ, that comes from the Spirit of God, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can bring such a diverse group of unconnected people together. Mothers, fathers, black, white, doctors, lawyers, shy people, bold people, murderers, former drug addicts, alcoholics, people that never touched a drop in their life. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you've done, who you were, where you come from. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit can bring us all together to actually form a family, a community. It's amazing. It is amazing what God can do. How is it that He does that? Why does He do that? 1 Corinthians 12:13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So God brings us together by His Holy Spirit. Another thing that love does is it prompts us towards obedience. It encourages us. It gives us the ability to obey. John 14, 23, Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Obedience to God flows out of a personal relationship with God. The closer we get to God, the more of a better relationship we have, the more we are motivated then to want to honor Him, to love Him, and to obey Him. We just want to. When we truly love Him, we want to obey Him. John 14, 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. So he's telling us right out, if you want to know if you really love God, you say, I don't even know if I really love God. Well, you want to know, are you following his word? If you are obeying his commands, you're proving that love. You may say, well, I don't know. I just don't feel that love. I keep telling you, it's not feeling. That doesn't mean that you'll never have feelings. Of course, the feelings can follow the actions. And like I said, feelings, they happen. We can't make feelings happen. Maybe we can put ourselves in a position where they can hopefully come. But the love is something we do as we obey. If we obey, that's like a test. We can look at our obedience to God's word and we can say, yeah, I do love God. I know I do. I love his word. I want to do what's right. I try to obey him. I do the best I can do. Okay, then yes, you do. You love God. Love motivates us to want to please. I mean, that's what happens. We love somebody, we want to please them. And in fact, we want to please them more than any law would ever make us do, right? Law is totally different. I remember when I was a kid in school, I went to a parochial school and they had all kinds of rules there, you know, and they were really strict. You would not believe the number of times I had to go down to the room and put out the palm of my hand and they took a paddle and smacked your hand, you know, depending on how many times. My hand was always red. But while the teacher was in the class, I usually obeyed pretty well. But when they stepped out of the class for a minute or turned their back, then of course you start talking, you start doing this, you start doing that, and then they turn around and catch you. And once your name's on their list, man, they catch you all the time. They come up with that. They used to have these pointers with a little rubber end on it. Whack you in the back of the head. Rulers on the top of the head. Books on your hands. Nothing like today. I came home beat up. Did you get in a fight today? No, it was the nun. And you know what? My dad's good. You know, if that's what you deserve, then you got it. And they were right. Those are rules. That was the law. That's why I didn't care if I, you know, to me, some of those rules were silly, so why should I care? But, you see, if I loved them, I had a couple teachers throughout the years there that I really liked. Those teachers, not only did I obey all their rules, but I stayed around and helped them. Did you ever have that? A favorite teacher? You want to bless them? You clean the board. Can I get you anything? I'll do that. Oh, sure, I'll collect those papers. Because you want them to like you because you like them so much. See, love motivates us to do things, you know, and it to be obedient. Obedience flows from love. And love is a motivator, just in general. It provides all kinds of motivation. How many times have you done things with your kids? Donovan will come in and sometimes yesterday even mentioned it. Man, we got this, we got that. You know, sometimes Kathy's got to go to this one, I got to go to that one. And I know, we've been through that. And anybody that's a parent's been through that. But, you know, and sometimes you complain. And sometimes, you know, but you do it because they're your kids. And you love them. You do it for your wife. You do it for your friends. You do it for, you know, hopefully for the people that God tells you to do it for. Because love will motivate us to do things that we don't want to do. We got to get up off the couch. We got to leave here. We got to go do that. We got to spend that money. We got to do this. We got to do that. But because of love, we're motivated to get out there and do that thing. You really notice it when you're starting to go out with somebody. Then the motivation's real high, right? The thing is to keep that motivation going and do it for Christ. You know, in the Bible it says that in 2 Corinthians 5:14 says that Christ's love compels us. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says that talks about your labor prompted by love. Sometimes that love that motivation costs us a lot. Energy, time, money, whatever. Sometimes some people have given their life because of love. That love motivated them to jump in front of a bullet or a car or somebody fighting or whatever it was. And maybe they got hurt because that love motivated them to stand up for what they believed in, for someone that they believed in. Love is a great motivator. It gets us to work, to get up and to go and to do whatever needs to be done. So we all need to be motivated. And the Holy Spirit will motivate us to do many things. And that's why that love is in there, you know, and that's part of that fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then will lead us. He'll nudge us. When Paul was talking about God's love compelling us, in another verse he said the Holy Spirit made us, compelled us, or stopped us even sometimes. God's love will transform us. Love is, it just does so many things. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, it says, through 5, at one time we too were foolish. Can we say that? Disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. That's us. It was us. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we've done, not at all, because we hadn't done anything righteous, but because of His mercy and His love. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. See, there's that love pouring out the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit, once again, involved in that love working inside of us, transforming us. The law can push us from the outside and change our actions. The law, you know, you see the police car out there on the road, you slow down, right? The law will make us do things. The law will cause you to send money into the mail to a government that you may not agree with all their purposes and plans. But because of the law, we do it. But God's love, guided by the Holy Spirit, comes into us and changes us and transforms us on the inside. It's a true transformation, not just a quick change in behavior. We actually do become a new creation in Christ. You know, I've heard people say many times that people don't change. I know people right in this room who have changed tremendously. God gets a hold of us, and we get filled with His Spirit, and that love starts to work in us, and all that other fruit, and God starts to move in us. If we've really given ourselves over, we do change. We do become a new creation in Christ. As people get to know the new us, they recognize this transformation that love has done and that's taken in our place in our life. And so what happens then is we share our testimony and we begin to share what God has done for us. And the Holy Spirit then starts to work through us. This love begins to flow out of us as we share what our Savior did for us. And it touches the heart of the one we're speaking to, and it opens the door for the Holy Spirit to minister that love to them. Our testimony is very powerful. It's something that we need to think about and actually have ready. Like, how did God change me? How was I before? What did God do to me? And how am I now? Where's the difference? What's the difference? How did God's love affect me? And if you can't find that testimony, if you can't find that change, You need to come up here after the service and get prayer. Because there should be a before and after. That's what God's looking for in us. Bringing us in. He wants us to, because that after is what gets us into eternal reward. It gets us into heaven. That change. Love gives us purpose. It opens up our eyes to see what is true and what is real. It takes the veils off our eyes and we just see right through the things of this world. It's amazing what it does when, you know, because love teaches us what's important in life. And because love shows us what's important, we also learn what's not important. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world." So see, God's telling us, don't waste your love on the world, on the things of this world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them. See, we have a choice. We can love this life and all the material goods and pleasures and fun, or we can love God and His people. And He's still going to give us a lot of the fun in this world. This world, God created it. He said it was good. There's a lot of garbage in the world, but there's still a lot of good. And God's going to bless us, but we have to start out loving Him first. We can't love both God and the world. We can't love both God and money. We have to love God first. God shows us through His Word and through the Holy Spirit how we can take our eyes off of this world and put our focus on Him so we can recognize our purpose in life. See, as our love for God grows, as we consider, or as we begin to really recognize what God has done in our life and what He's doing and what He wants to do, we begin to see then the value and purpose of our life. Because your life is valuable to God. There's great purpose in your life. You were not created as a mistake. Because God loves you. And a loving God would never have created you with no purpose. You have a purpose. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply. We've been created to serve God and His people. And our purpose will always have to do with building others up, with loving others, with building His church, helping, you know, being co-laborers with God, encouraging, serving others. That's what God wants us to do. Another thing that love does is it brings unity to the body of Christ. Unity is where God's blessings flow. We read that in the Scripture. God's power is released through love. As we love, as we operate in love, God's power is poured out. And what happens then is it brings this unity in the body, and the Holy Spirit then is able to move freely as the unity begins to come into the body of Christ, because His love is here, and we come together, we unite together, and then the Spirit of God begins to move in a powerful way. That's why we're told in Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Only through love can we be united in purpose. I mean, people of the world can be united, and God even commented on that. But that kind of unity only leads to problems, ultimately to death, if it's apart from God. So that's not the kind of unity we want. We don't want worldly visions. We don't want worldly. We want God's unity. We want a unity that is working in love, because a unity that doesn't have true love will always eventually break apart. It will always fall apart. They'll start devouring one another. And that's what we got to make sure we don't do that. Love doesn't do that. Love works at unity. Love works at humbling ourselves. Love works at forgiving. Love works at putting aside our differences and coming together and uniting That's what love does. And as we love like that through the power of the Holy Spirit, not our love, not our feelings, but in obedience to God's word, then we see the Spirit of God begin to move on us. And that's what we want. I want to see God's Spirit moving powerfully in our midst, always. God's love enables us to push through and beyond our personal interests, our preferences, past our fears, past our hurts, and commit ourselves to the good of other people. That's how that unity comes about. And when we operate in unity like that, that's how other people see God moving in us, in our midst. That was the last prayer of Jesus before he went to the cross in John 17, 21. This is what he prayed, that all of us might be one so that the world might know that the Father sent the Savior. See, as people see the unity, as people come and they see the love, which builds that unity, they feel the love, they walk in, and they say, man, I just feel the love of God in here, and I've heard that so many times. I feel the love of God in here. It just tells me that God is real here. God is here, and God is here. You just have to tap into it. That's what we have to do. We have to tap into that unity, into that body, into that love, tapping into what God is trying to do here, building his community of believers, building a body for his son, the body of Christ. Just like a husband and wife, when they are united, they produce a new birth. When believers are united, the Holy Spirit then can draw others in and produce new births. When people sense the presence of God and the power of God, people get saved. And there's new births, new life, because of the unity, the union. First the natural, then the spiritual. That's how God works. God, that unity just draws people. It's something that attracts people. When they pick up on that love, they pick up on that, because it's not out in the world. It's cutthroat. Nothing will draw people to God faster than love. When they see that love functioning, when they see it operating amongst the people of God and through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it just, people can't help it. Something happens. It grabs you. God knew exactly what he was doing when he put love in us, when he poured out his love, when he filled us with his Holy Spirit and ignited this love inside of us. He knew exactly what he was doing. 1 Corinthians, winding down here, tells us that 12:31 tells us that, and I mentioned this earlier, that love is the most excellent way. 13:2, if you have not love, if I have not love, I am nothing. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm no good. I got to have this love. I need it. Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as God's chosen people. I heard this one time, whenever you hear that therefore, and it says therefore, as God's, you need to think about immediately, why? What is that therefore? What is this statement therefore then? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's wrapping it up right there. 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. 13:8, love never fails. I mean, this love sounds pretty inclusive, doesn't it? Pretty all, you know, it's the love all, end all be all, this love. Love is powerful. God's love is so powerful. Love can transform not only an individual heart, but love can transform a nation. Love is why God sacrificed his son. Love is why Jesus laid down his life and died for us. Love is what causes us to submit our life to Christ, to disregard our will, our selfish wants and desires, and begin to live for others and for him. Love is a fruit of the Spirit that we need. We need it in our life. We need to chase after it. We need that love. Learning to walk in love is learning to become more like Christ, being transformed into his image. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the original plan. Remember the original plan of creation? Remember what God said? Let us create man, how? In our image. Remember that? Let us create them, male and female, in our image. And in their image, it doesn't mean we're going to look like God. Who knows what God looks like? But we know that God has love. And he wants us to walk in that love. God's love is amazing. He loves you, and because he loves you, he wants to bless you abundantly. So I'm going to stop here today because I had so much more I could have went. I'm going to come back and hopefully finish that the next time I speak. So I want to ask the prayer team to come up. I'll tell you what, I mean, you could probably spend a year talking on love. I thought I was going to be able to put this all together in one, and I started going, and I thought, oh my gosh, there is just so much in the Word of God about the love of God, how important it is, and how the Holy Spirit uses that love. We got to get a hold of that. We really do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your love, Lord God. We thank you that you love us, that you've loved us, that you chose us, that you loved us even when we were sinners, before we were even rescued, before we were saved. And Lord, your love, you told us in your word that nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing. Your love is real, it's true. It's there for us, Lord, and we want to grow in this love. We want to get a hold of this love for ourselves so we can begin to operate in this love and grow into the image of our Lord and Savior, be transformed into his image. Lord, help us to grow in love, to walk in love, to be obedient to love. Thank you, Jesus, for this love that you had for us. And Lord, I pray even right now for this prayer team. I pray that, Lord, that you would anoint them even right this minute, that as they lay hands on others, Lord God, that they could transfer the love, the forgiveness, and maybe even the salvation that you desire so much for us. If God's been speaking to your heart right now and you say, man, I need that, please come forward and let them pray for you. Hallelujah. Let's just give it all to God. Father, we just thank you for all things. We give it all to you today, Lord God. And I pray you also bless the fellowship time upstairs, the coffee and donuts, Lord God. We just thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
I've been running through rain that I thought would never end. Trying to make it on faith in a struggle against the wind. I've seen the dark in the broken places. Oh, but I know in my soul, no matter how bad it gets, I'll be alright. There's hope in front of me, but there's a light I still see. The storm you finally find.